for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
I'm pressing on the upward way. We'll be speaking today on the destination for supernatural advancements. Has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though storm may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me I'm all, for faith has caught that joyful sound, that song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on the topic today, as permitted by the pastor of the church, is that we are looking at destination for supernatural advancement. So we'll be trusting God that God would focus our direction as we advance in the areas of life this year. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a glimpse of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Heavenly Father, take us to a higher ground. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. So I hope we all have our material right. The material we shared during the crossover service. And we have shared it across our various platforms. It's on page 21. All right. Page 21. Coincidentally, now I didn't bring my hard copy. I would have shown you what it looks like. But Miss, all right, okay, thank you, ma'am. So this is it. If you are with it, so you can just bring it out. This is it. And if you don't have it, we have in the course of the week, well, since yesterday, we have tried to send it across the various platforms. And I hope you have it. But if you don't have it, not a problem. After today, we'll ensure we'll see how you can get it, either physically, either a hard copy or the soft copy after now. But don't worry, you are going to have a nice time tonight, God helping us. So, at the instance of the pastor, we'll be looking at destination for supernatural advancement. And you can find that on page 21. Page 21 of that material. Page 20. Okay, so you see what soft copy can cost. So looking at my soft copies on 21, but thank you, ma, for calling. And your husband is just laughing at me. When I was saying page 21, he said, Pastor, continue to say the wrong thing. Praise God. Thank you, ma, and thank you, sir, for laughing in a way that made me know that something is wrong with this number I called. So thank you so much. Page 20. Destination for supernatural advancement. As the Lord will help us, we'll look at the contextual advancements, and God helping us, we'll see how far we can go on that. Just the contextual advancements. All right. Open your Bibles with me very quickly, if you don't mind, to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3 as we read verses 12, 13, and 14. Philippians 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For as many of us who are in sync with what God is doing with us as a church, you will agree with me that it's on this mandate that we have been running since December last year up until now. Even when God has permitted us to veer off a bit, if you permit me that choice of word, to veer off a bit, to look at certain other things to help our journey, we have not looked at those things without recourse to the fact that it is towards advancement. And particularly today, what is impressed upon the heart of God's servant, of which he has told me to come and lead the people into, is that let's be mindful of how we are advancing. Let's pay a bit more attention to the dimension of our advancement. Let's be a bit more careful as to how are we advancing. What is this level? How are we advancing? Where are we advancing to? I've always said, and I like to say again, that if somebody decides to go to Badagry, for as many of us that know the route to Badagry, or let me not walk by assumption, how many of us know where Badagry is? Badagry.
but agree. Oh, not even many people. So this may not be a perfect example. So not quite a number. So, all right. So maybe let me use a place that is a bit more familiar. So for as many of us, if there's anybody that wants to go to Oshodi, 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 how many of us know Oshodi? Oshodi. All right. Okay, so this is a bit more familiar example to use. So if we decide to go to Oshodi, and the moment you decided to hit the road, you now come off this road and you now stretch towards the end of this route, of this road, to hit Bodilon. And by the time you come off the road, you get to Bodilon, you now hit down. Since you are not going to drive one way, you now go to Falomo. As you get to Falomo, you now make the U-turn. Instead of probably going straight onto Awolowo Road, you now use the roundabout and make the fourth turn to the left. You know, when you use Google Map will tell you second turn to the left, third turn to the right. So according to Google Map, you now make the fourth turn to the left. The fourth turn to the left will take you back to the road you left. It will bring you back to Bodilon. And you will now start coming back. You now hit the bridge. Now climb Lekki Ikoyi Bridge. You now descend. Where are you going to? Say you know already, you are already getting closer to Oshodi now. Then when you now descend from the bridge, you now come and you now enter Admiralty Road. You now hit it, you now come to Lekki Phase 1. They will come to Lekki Peninsula Scheme 1. You now come out, you now use this, you now go left towards Lekki Epe Express. You now start heading towards Epe. You know you are now getting closer now to Oshodi. Am I communicating? Eh? Yes, sir. Yes, Pastor said you are getting closer now. So as you continue to go that way, you are getting closer, closer and closer. And you know, if you now want to get there very quickly, on time, you now decide to increase your speed. You now press the accelerator. You are now running at 120 kilometers per hour. So regardless of the vehicle in front of you, you are just maneuvering. You know, before long, you will soon arrive because of the speed. Am I communicating? You will soon arrive, Abi. They say, yes, sir. Where will you arrive? By the time you get to Epe, you will discover that you are off your track. So in the wisdom of the pastor, and as God will be helping us today, we want to carefully look at. That's just to bring us into the lesson. Bring us to how we are advancing so that we can be very sure that we are not just running like men who do not have aim. We are not just running like men who do not know where we are going. We are not just advancing like men without focus. We are not just advancing like men who do not understand where we set out to get from the very beginning. So go with me as we look at the introduction. It is important to underscore that the advancement the Lord is promising us has a destination. It is not without a focus. It is not directionless. It is a purposeful advancement. So I'd like to ask a few of us, maybe I can take about 4 or 5 people. What are the areas of advancement that you are trusting God for in your life? Maybe we can take like 4 or 5 areas of advancement. So these supernatural advancements. So what are these areas of, what is this supernatural, not definition, areas. So we can understand our focus. All right, anyone? Let's interact. All right, Mr. Florence.
My prayer life.
Your prayer life. Your prayer life. Fantastic. And I'm very happy she called attention to that. Because, you know, that one is a serious area. You know, because that is not particularly an area some of us thought of when Pastor was telling us, this year is our year of supernatural advancement. How many of you were thinking of prayer life that time? Deacon Ajawa, I know with your spiritual level, you were thinking that way. You see, the man said no. In fairness, all of us, Deaconess, you were thinking that way. I won't ask you. Spiritual woman. No, I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting you. I believe if he said so, it's true. Hallelujah. But I tell you, a great percentage of us, 90-something percent, we're not particularly thinking of that area. And you are not wrong. You are not wrong. Because at that point, I'm thinking of, oh, something. So, you know, you're just thinking of advancement in the area of your career. Advancement in all these areas. Fantastic. Who else want to tell us an area of supernatural advancement? You are trusting the Lord. Okay, all right. Let's come this way. Is this Ajao? A microphone is coming. Wow.
Knowing him more.
And some of these things are areas we are going to look at in a moment. Knowing him more. All the people talking today now, they are very spiritual people. Hallelujah. All right. Give my brother there. But after you now go to my brother at the back there. All right.
Giving.
Supernatural advancement in the area of giving. Not supernatural advancement in the area of getting. You know, those are two things. And if God will permit me, as I feel he showed me before I came, we'll be talking a bit more about giving than getting. Because some of us are professional getters. So I'm trusting the Lord God will make us professional givers. We'll shift a bit from just wanting to get to being very willing to give. All right, my brother.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Paying attention to him in order to get direction.
This one has taken it to a new whole level. Paying attention to him in order to get direction. So we are trusting God for supernatural advancement in the area of building relationship with the Lord. All right. I saw one hand here. Did I? All right. Please.
Financial breakthrough.
I trust you. You have arrived. You have arrived, my brother. I beg somebody by his side, just one person, please clap for him. I said one person, all of you had to clap for him. Amen. And you know some of you who are keeping quiet, you're not talking, you're not saying that one. It is the major thing in your heart too. Because that one is a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. And by the grace of God, all of us collectively will get to that point in the name of Jesus. We'll advance financially in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, my sister.
Ministry.
Oh my God. If, and you know, the ministry she's talking about here is not for pastors, so, because all of us are ministers. In our ministry to God, in our service to God, we should be able to advance. Oh, if there is somebody in church or somebody watching me, you know you have just been redundant in church. You don't do anything. You just come to sit, enjoy our AC, and you enjoy AC. You come, by the time you enter, you look all sweaty. By the time you are leaving, you look like somebody who just went to UK. And all you do, you enjoy all our AC. Our AC is almost finishing because of you. And after everything, no service to this, to the house of God. You are not doing well. So I'm trusting God this year, all of us will become people who will say, Lord, we want to advance in our service in your kingdom. Praise the Lord. That should be okay so that we can spend more time to touch on a few other things. All right, quickly, let us look at the contextual advancement. So that let's bring this to context. Amongst others, because there are many others, some of the areas God wants us to advance this year are as follows. Number one, advancement in the gospel ministry. Say you saw our sister. Did you see our notes? My sister, you have the material. You don't have it. You mean it. You don't have it. God bless you. So you see, you are the one who introduced us to the lesson. The very first thing God will be calling our attention to today, that we need to advance contextually in the matter of supernatural advancement, is in the area of advancing in gospel ministry. Please join me again as we read that scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Let's see Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Carefully, let's understand what the Bible says. The Bible says in Philippians 1, 12, it said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Excuse me. I wish we can pay a bit more attention to the text of this word. He said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I have come to know that every experience that happens to us or that can ever happen to us, they are happening to us for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, I have come to know. I have come to know that when God takes us through any phase of life, when God takes us through any season of life, they are to advance the course of the gospel. Oh, are you asking me? I can tell you quite a number. I have said it again and again in this church, and I'm so glad to say it again. Oh, I went through a lot in my life. I went through a lot academically. Oh, I suffered what they call failure. I failed many times. I failed again and again and again and again and again. Oh, I saw all the various shades of failure. I saw failure that is green. I saw failure that is red. I saw failure that is indigo. I saw failure that is violet. I saw failure that is pink. I saw all manners of failure. I saw failure till failure became my middle name. I failed in every dimension of things called failure. But I tell you, and I lie not, and to the glory of God, when the Lord turned again my captivity, I became like a man who dreamt dream. Every success I made when God visited me with what was called success and what is still called success, and turned it around from the last WAEC I wrote till I went to the university, came out the best student, went to the seminary, the best student, and went on and on and on and on and on for the rest of my life. Every Latin I taught, best student. It was a basis for me. And after I finished, many programs I've gone to preach. It has been programs where people have come to tell me, Pastor, come and talk about how people can fail, and in their failure, they can succeed. So when a man goes through certain troubles of life, it is because God is preparing to take you to a new dimension of life. And this is what Apostle Paul saying. He said, I like you all to know, brethren, that the things that have happened to me. So sometimes a lot of us don't understand that the problems that we are going through, the challenges we are going through, they are not problems. They are only challenges that are put there as a stepping stone for where we are getting to. I always tell people when they come, I say, look, for me, by the grace of God, I don't have any setback. I don't have any problem. Because the Bible says when there's a casting down, for us, there is a lifting up. So Apostle Paul began to say, he said, all the things I have gone through, they are there for me to be able to get to where I want to get to. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible began to situate it a bit more clearly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, look at what the Bible says. Media, if you can be a bit fast or faster, it will help. Thank you so much. He said, who comforts us? Okay, maybe let's start from verse 3 to give this a bit more of a context. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. Who does what? Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The moment a man goes through any phase of life, the moment a man goes through any issue of life, is so that the gospel of Christ may be furthered. It's so that the gospel of Christ may be preached in all its potency and in all its efficiency. God makes all of us to go through trouble so that certain men who are in trouble can find hope by hearing your testimony. Why do you think God made Moses to go through all the things he went through? Why do you think God had to make Moses to go and take care of the sheep of Jethro? Why do you think God had to make Moses to sit and be meh? Because God knew he was going to be sending him to a stiff-necked people. People who will be very difficult to lead. So God made him to go through it. So that God can advance him to a greater ministry. Why do you think God had to make Elijah to become a man of fire? Why do you think God put him through that? But God knew that there was a Jezebel that was waiting for him in ministry. So anything we go through is because God is preparing for us a greater ministry. And I'd like all of us to understand that clearly, that one of the things God is doing in our life or want to do in our life is to prepare to advance us ministerially. You know, God brings us into certain experiences so that his word can be proclaimed in all efficiency and in all potency. Did you notice in Acts chapter 16, we may not be able to read that now, but if you notice in Acts chapter 16, you will notice that Apostle Paul wanted to go and preach in many places. He wanted to enter into Mysian, into Troas, into Bithynia, into Phrygia. He wanted to enter into Galatia, but all these places, doors were being locked and closed against him. But even in all his attempts, the doors were being closed, only for him to discover later. In fact, let us read it. Acts chapter 16, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, because it is thematic. Now, the Bible says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They were to go and preach the word of God. They were making advancements into territories. They were trying to break into new frontiers, but there were restrictions. Apostle Paul said, everything I suffered was because of something. Then in the next verse, the scripture then went on to tell us. Okay. Media, give us verse 8. Although they are telling me that I should open my Bible. I've heard. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You see, God's attention, God's intention was for something to be done in Macedonia. There was a greater assignment that needed to be carried out in Macedonia. So even when they were trying other areas, God was blocking it. For them, it looked like a restriction. But God said, no, what you are passing through is because of where I'm taking you to. So God blocked all those areas to bring them into a place of greater advancement and greater ministry. Nothing must hinder the gospel in our mouth. And so I pray that all of us will get to that point where the Lord will bring us to advancement in gospel ministry. And you know, for me particularly, I like to share this because it came to my mind as I'm talking. There was these days when we were much, much, much younger. I was in first act. So I would just intentionally enter bus going to Oshodi from first act. I'm not going anywhere. I'll just enter bus going to Oshodi because I want to preach. You know those days when you enter bus and somebody will just stand up in the bus, I greet you all in the name of the Lord. How many of us have been in vehicles and you notice that? All right. Those things no longer happen now. They say people are trespassing once. What they say now? I don't know, but I'm sure if I enter a public vehicle, I may just do that. I don't know, but I used to do that as a young chap. I would just leave first act. I would just enter public transport. I'm not going anywhere. I just want to go and preach. So when I went out, I had preached successfully to the glory of God. So when I was coming back, I decided, okay, I think whether I now from Oshodi enter the Ikeja. And you know, Ikeja preaching was sweeter. Ikeja preaching was sweeter because Ikeja preaching was more lue. You know, preaching in a bus was not very sweet. You just sit at the back somewhere and say, I greet you in the name of the Lord. I'm not sure how many people are seeing my face. So, but when I enter from Oshodi to Ikeja, I was on the inside one more lue bus. And I sat down and there was this mama who was standing, holding whatsoever. And I was just smiling in my heart. I said, God, thank you for giving me ministry to this mama today. And as I was about to start preaching, I just said, Mama, please, can you sit? Mama said, okay, thank you, my son. And Mama sat down. And I stood, and I was dancing. You know the way you dance when you are Molue? If you have never had that experience, you didn't live in Lagos. So I was just dancing while things was going on. And after a point, after all my many dancing for about three minutes, I just said, I greet you all in this bus in the name of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, the only thing this mama did not do was to enter into my mouth. Oh, this mama was like this. Mama was looking at me like this. You know, you do know why mama was like that towards me? Because I stood up for mama to sit. Mama was still wondering, which kind of a boy is this? Who could show respect to a mother in a place where people have lost standard and respect? And by the time I began to preach, the Lord had given me an effectual and open door into the heart of mama. And God was able to do that. Mama was, before I even made altar call, mama said she would give her life to Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm praying that by the special grace of God, the Lord will give all of us effectual doors that will open us up into deeper gospel ministry in the name of Jesus. Advanced gospel ministry in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, we were at a retreat, the pastor's retreat. And while I was there, at some point, somebody called me. And he called me, sent me a message. I said, what's this? He said, Pastor, I don't even have his number. He said, Pastor, good evening, sir. I didn't know who was greeting, so I just said, good evening. I couldn't say, sir, or ma, or boy, or girl. I didn't know what to say. I said, good evening. He said, sir, I want to see you. I said, all right. I said, are you okay? Is everything all right? He said, yes, everything is okay. I said, so why do you want to see me? Is everything okay? I was bothered because he was saying it desperately. And eventually he said, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. What happened? Over nothing. He became so troubled. He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And I was so glad. I said, I'll be coming back tomorrow, which is today. I said, the moment I come, please come and see me in my office. And before I will say Jack Robinson, the boy was knocking at my office. He entered my office. He said, Pastor, I want to see you. I said, say it again. He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. That is an entrance God is willing to bring all of us into. So that even people just thinking of what God is doing in our life, God will be opening doors for men to surrender to Jesus. So I'm trusting the Lord by the grace of God this year. The Lord will open greater doors for effectual doors and for gospel ministry in the name of Jesus. Number two, advancement in our consecration. And for me, this is a very serious matter for me. In Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, the Bible told us about the issue of consecration. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, for I have no one like-minded. Philippians 1, I'm reading 2. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also will be magnified. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a loaded, this one prayer all of us should pray for this year. I'd like to read it again. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I am praying and I'm trusting the Lord that nothing will make any of us ashamed. That there is nothing anybody will say and will become ashamed. Maybe somebody wants to stand up to talk somewhere and you're already afraid. You're already wondering, what does this person want to say? What does he want to expose? What does he want to say? Now, oh, in fact, your heart will be beating boom, 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 boom. The Bible says, oh, no, that I nothing, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be afraid. I'm not afraid for people to check me. I'm not afraid for people to look at me. I don't care whether they open anything about me, they open my phone, or they look at my life. I don't want to be ashamed. That's the kind of testimony all of us will get to. That is the area of supernatural advancement we should get to. That they say, bring your phone. It's okay, take. They give you the check. The Bible said they came to Jesus and they could find nothing wrong about him. That in nothing I'll be ashamed. They say, please, I have something to say. And somebody is shaking. I don't know what he wants to say now. I don't know what. No. Don't shake. He said that my earnest expectation and my hope is that in nothing I shall be ashamed. You know, for some, there are areas that they are not ashamed. But there's an area where you get to. They say, this area. No, don't get there. Maybe a preacher comes and starts preaching. The moment he's preaching, he begins to touch one area. In fact, you feel like going to the toilet. You feel like going to the toilet. You say, what is happening here? You're already so shattered and so afraid. That is when you will stand up and say, my phone is ringing, my phone is ringing, my phone is ringing. And you will stay outside till the message is finished. He said, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. That is the kind of advancement God wants us to get to. A place where we are not ashamed, we are not afraid, we don't care. Look at what Samuel said. He said, look, I've taken nothing. There's nothing. I've done nothing to anybody. Paul came, said the same thing. I've done nothing to anybody. What a ministry. What a testimony. And that is where we are trusting God as a church. All of us, we get to. That they will check us in our marital life. They say nothing to be ashamed of. They will check us in our financial life. They say nothing to be ashamed of. They will check us in our relationship with people. They say nothing to be ashamed of. They will check us at our places of work. They will say nothing to be ashamed of. Not men who are good in church, but when they get to their place of work, nothing to write about. We were at a retreat since Monday till today. And one of the person who was facilitating today's class was speaking to us. And he was talking, he said, what about pastors? He said, pastors, what about your three P's? Pastors, where are your three P's? And he began to talk about the three P's. He said, the P of the pastor's private life. He said, after the private life, the pastor's pulpit life. He said, after the pulpit life, the pastor's public life. He said, sometimes one may walk. What about the other ones? I want to ask you that even if your public life is okay, because that's the part you want all of us to see, I'd like to ask you, what of your private life? Apostle Paul said, in my earnest expectation and hope, is that in everything that will not be ashamed, that in any area they touch us, there is no area they will check us and they will see something, they will say, no, this one, we are ashamed of him. In the area of holiness, we are there. In the area of sanctity, we are there. It was very early in my life when I discovered that there was something God wanted to make out of my life. I made up my mind early enough to lay certain consecrations about my life. And I said, this, I make sure I don't do. And I was placing certain demands on my life. That if I do this, let this happen. If I do this, let this happen. If I do this, let this happen. I don't want to begin to repeat them again. You know, but I have discovered that by those things I have done, God has been helping my life. And I'm asking you today, by the mercy of God, like, as God is helping me, excuse me, what are those things in your life that you know that this matter, if it is brought out, there will be a problem? You know, about 5 years ago, maybe 5 years, I can't remember now, there was one rumor that went around Facebook. I don't know how many of us I can remember. And they said Facebook has made up their mind that every message of everybody shall be brought out. How many of us remember that year? Oh, this is not a Facebook church. Some of you can't remember that too. You remember? Okay, thank God I have hope. Amen. Oh, come and see some people started querying. Facebook cannot do that. Facebook cannot do that. Facebook cannot do that. Excuse me. Why are they saying Facebook cannot do that? Do you know why? They know that if Facebook tries, all the manner of messages that we have written, you know, even when you have sent message and deleted, you only deleted for yourself. The custodian of the app, the custodian of the domain, they still have messages. You know, Facebook now has now done something, an app, that even when you delete, there's a particular app somebody may have. He will check it. He will see what you deleted. They can still read it. I hope you know. That is how it will be when we stand before the God of light. Where it before whom there is no shadow of turning or utter of variableness. When we stand before him, God will be exposing all the secrets of a man's heart. All the things that we have done and we felt nobody saw them. But God is saying, I'm writing them. So you know one area we are trusting God as a church, if God will help us, is that we'll get to a point where we are not afraid when anybody wants to raise that. Excuse me, I have something to say. Say it. Let me say this. Please forgive me, let me say this. You know, 2 Sundays ago, thereabout, or 3 Sundays, I preached a message in church, and I was reminding us of love and unity. You remember? And I was reminding us of the message I preached 4 years ago. You remember? How many of us were in church that Sunday? And I was talking about it. All right, good. For as many of us who are raising their hand, you can't remember. And you know, I was talking about an analogy I made about our daddy. and how he stopped me, how all the things that happened. Do you know Pastor wasn't in church that day? You know Pastor wasn't in church that day? How many of you do? Well, if you don't know, I'm telling you now, Pastor wasn't in church. So Pastor was not particularly aware of the drama I was doing that day. Because I knew, if Pastor knew, for some reason, Pastor may say, Pastor. But I knew what I did with Pastor, then I went on to do it. So when the drama started, you know, it was online, and Pastor was watching from where, Pastor wasn't in the country that year, and Pastor was watching from where he was. So when Pastor saw that Oduwole coming to say, please, Pastor, stop it. In fact, I need to say something. Do you know what Pastor was sending as message? How many of you want to know? Pastor was watching online. Pastor was wondering what is happening in the church. So Pastor was sending message to me, sending to Reverend Oyedi, sending to Reverend Babalola. Three of them were here. We were all here. And I was here preaching. They were here. And Pastor was sending message. Please, do you want to know what Pastor was saying? How many of you want to know? Come to church on Sunday and I will tell you. Hallelujah. I will tell you. What Pastor was telling us to do was, Pastor said, please, nobody should stop him from asking this question. Let him ask the question. Let him say what he wants to say. Please don't cut him. Don't cut him. You know, when I finished preaching and I came back and I saw that message from Pastor, oh my God, I wept in my heart. I said, it will only take a man whose hands are clean who will say, no. Leave it. Let it be said. Let everybody hear it at once. Excuse me, I want to ask all of you. When your matter is to be discussed, will you be preaching? Somebody said, no, later. Be pinching, and you almost injure the person with your long nails. He said, later. Pastor said, no, let it be said. If it has come this open, no, let it be said. Let's not keep anything. I am trusting the Lord that as a church, not just pastor, not just deacons, but every one of us, we'll be able to come clean before God. That if there's any secrets, if there's anything that will not help us to advance, you know, the secret of a man that the man has not confessed is one reason why a man will not be able to advance. You know, when you are advancing, the person will say, take it easy. Remember that matter. It's okay. If you want to shout, say, the Bible says, and you just see the sister sitting down, the sister who was sitting like this before, you might say, the Bible says. You know, you will change the Bible says. He said, but the Lord said we should have mercy. The Lord is a God of mercy. People, you know, people commit sin, but the Lord have mercy. He's always having mercy. Something has gone wrong. So I'm trusting the Lord that all of us will become men and women who, by the mercy of the Lord, that there will be nothing that will touch our consecration. We'll be men who are separated for the purpose of Christ, and the Lord will so help our lives in Jesus' name. Number three, advancements in Christian suffering. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Oh, I love that portion. I love that aspect. We need to advance in Christian suffering. For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Let's sing a song. There's a song we used to sing way back. Today, oh, I will lift up my voice in praise. Oh, today, oh, I will lift up my voice in praise. For I know, you are always there for me. Almighty God,
you are my all in all.
Hallelujah.
No matter what I face, when troubles come my way, I will praise the Lord.
All right, church, did you hear anything? That last line, did you notice that some people were singing different things? Did you notice? Are you sure you noticed? We'll sing it one more time. Please, listen to the very last line. I heard something.
Today, we will lift up our voice in praise.
Ah,
listen now.
No matter what I face, when troubles comes my way, I will praise the Lord.
All right, what did you hear them say? No matter what I face. When what? When success comes my way, that's what they sang, Gabi. Right? No matter what I face.
When success comes my way, I will praise God.
Two more times can we sing? No matter what I face.
When success comes my way, I will praise God.
And you see, they are fighting now. One more time. Listen very well. No matter what I face.
When troubles comes my way, I will praise God.
All right. Thank you. So what were they singing? When success comes my way. Some people are saying, when trouble comes my way. You heard it, right? Excuse me, how many of you know the original song? How many of you know the original song? The original song, no matter what I face, when trouble come my way, I will. Abi, that's the original song, right? So there's this generation that believe that suffering is of the devil. There's this generation that believe that it must just be rosy. There's this generation that have not seen the cross. There's this generation that does not know that Jesus had to suffer before he entered into glory. There's this generation that wants everything to fall on their laps before they can serve God. There's this generation that want to come to church that until they give them, they will not give their life to Jesus. There's this generation that comes to church that if people don't play by their rules, then they will walk out of church. So they change that song. They say, no matter, no matter what I face, when success come my way, I will. Because those people who say trouble come my way, they are from the devil. It is the devil that gave them that song. So they came to change it so that they can now sing it the right way. So that we can align with heaven's pattern, that it must be success. That is not true. That's not true. Some people now say, okay, let's settle the problem. No matter what I face, whatever comes my way, I will praise the Lord. So that one is more contextually correct. No matter whether success, whether trouble. Hallelujah. But you know, there was nothing wrong with the original song that was in trouble because suffering is part of it. But when some people wanted to change the real thing, some people who know how to save the church say, okay, let's get it right. Whether it is success or trouble, we must serve the Lord. Let's see a scripture. Let's see a scripture. I want us to read from the word of God as contained in Luke 24. Luke 24 verses 25 and 26. And this I'm trusting the Lord to advance us. The Bible said, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of hearts, to believe in all that the prophets ever spoke, has ever spoken. Ought not the Christ, are you seeing the word of God? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Are you seeing it? So Christ himself had to suffer before entering glory. Suffering is the pathway into glory. When a man suffers, when a man suffers for righteous sake, not suffering for his own error. The Bible says, blessed are those who suffer for righteousness' sake. So not for suffering for what you did that is wrong. But suffering is God's own pathway to entering into glory. So Christ himself had to discover that path and he passed it and entered into glory. Look at Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. Even the apostles themselves also attested to it, that it was a thing of joy to suffer. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. What did they do in verse 41? As a response of this flogging and beating and suffering. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. If it were some of us, we would say, God, this is the last time I will preach in this place. So God, you were there. After I came to preach in your name, I didn't want to preach before you told me to come and preach here.
And after preaching, you made them to bring me out in front of everybody. Even that sister I have been eyeing in church, she was watching me, they were flogging me, I was crying like a baby. Oh God, you have disappointed me. I will never again in my life preach. Oh, this apostle said, God, thank you. Thank you for counting me worthy to be among those who will suffer shame for you. Can you imagine what these apostles did? This is the level I'm trusting God to enter. And you know, for some of us, we are far. You know, in this school of suffering, I have not started. In this school of suffering, I don't know what class I am in. In this school of suffering, maybe I've not even entered kindergarten. And this school, all of us must get to the university of suffering. We must get to the point where we can suffer to the glory of God. It is scripture. I'm not saying suffering for doing wrong. I'm saying suffering for the cause of Christ. This man said, Lord, if it is to suffer for you, we are willing to suffer to the very end. Then Apostle Paul now made it very sweet. When he said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, he now concluded the matter for us. Look at how he called suffering in Philippians 3:10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Can you imagine how Apostle Paul now garnished it? He said, when you suffer, it's fellowship. It's fellowship. And I was hearing Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They were in prison in chains. And while they were in prison under chains, they were singing, they were praising God. For some of us, when we find ourselves in such situation, what do? We begin to complain, we begin to grumble, but these men were singing and praising God in their suffering. I'm praying and I'm trusting God that if there is any area God will advance us next year, this year, by the grace of God, and for the rest of our life, it will be to advance us in the place of suffering, Christian suffering, suffering in the kingdom, Christian suffering, not suffering for doing wrong, not suffering for being wrong, not suffering that they have known that you have done something bad, but Christian suffering. And I'm trusting that will be our portion in Jesus' mighty name. Number four, advancement in love and unity. Can we see Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Oh my God. If there's one area I'm trusting the Lord that God should help us as a church, it's for all of us to advance in love and unity. It's for us to be of one mind, being like-minded. IBC must be a home where we are of like mind, same love, one accord, and one mind. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible told us the mind of the early apostles. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible said, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Everybody had everything in common. The one who had sold and gave to the one who didn't have. The one who sold, you know, he will just look around and say, this one doesn't have. And why do I? No. He will just sell and give. He will just sell and give. People were selling and giving to people. Ah, my brother, you don't have. Why don't you have? All right, come, take. It didn't cost them anything to do that. It was a church that looked out for the needs of the others. Oh, my brother, how come? I noticed that after each time you come to church, you wear just one shoe. What's happening? Why are you always wearing one shoe? Come, my brother. It's you I'm talking to. Come. Why are you always wearing one shoe? You know you don't wear one shoe. I've never seen you. Come. I've never seen you before. This is my first time of seeing you. Is this your first time in this church? This is not your first time. So it's not as though I've seen you wear one shoe. So it's not an embarrassing statement. You get it? Even if it's one shoe, the one shoe is fine. Even if you give me, I don't mind. I will take it. Praise God. So it's a fine one. I just noticed only one shoe. It could be anybody. My brother, God bless you. See me next week Sunday. Maybe I have one extra shoe I'm not been wearing. My brother, I want to give you one shoe. I don't mean it, so I'm just giving as a sample. Hallelujah. But you don't mind. What's your shoe size? 33. It's not my size. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see me after service. God bless you. So we just go around and say, how are you? What's happening, my sister? And that's what we want as a church. I just noticed that every time you come, you look moody. What's happening to you, my sister? Why is it every day you look moody? What's happening? Are you okay? You're okay. Thank God. You'll be okay in Jesus' name. My brother, how are you? Somebody say, I hope pastor will come to my side. There is one matter I want to raise. There's one matter I've been saying I will raise it. If he comes, I will just raise it. My brother, how are you? Are you okay? Oh, you're okay. That's all right. It is well. My sister, I won't ask you. Your testimony shows that you're always okay. Or your testimony makes us to laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. My brother, how are you? Are you fine? You are fine. All right. I was looking for somebody who would say he's not fine. And let's see what we can do. But everybody is fine in Ikoyi Baptist Church. And the reason why everybody is fine is because of you. It's because of you. Please put a smile on someone's face. Look out for somebody and make somebody happy. It is sweet to make somebody happy. I've seen people in this church who make people happy. Even through me, just a pastor, this person, make them happy. And you, all of you that are making happy, can you also try to make somebody also happy? Every time you are waiting for somebody to make you happy, when will you make somebody happy? Eh? They say, come and do this. He say, me. He hold me. He hold you. Did you leave anything at home before you came to church? You that people are making happy, can you also make somebody happy? You know, when you cannot make somebody happy when you don't have, even when you have, you will not make somebody happy. Am I communicating? Ikoyi Baptist Church must be a place where all of us are concerned about one another. The early church did that. If there was one thing that made the early church to grow, it was because everybody looked out for the need of the neighbor. And we must all be like that. We must advance in that area. We must advance. We must advance in love and in unity. We must be united. We must genuinely love. Not just love that comes from our confession, but love that comes from our action. And I love that song that we sing, let there be love shared amongst us. Let there be love in our hearts. May now your love sweep this nation. Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared amongst us. I didn't plan to do this. We'll sing it two more times. Let there be love. Let there be love. I want to ask all of us while we are singing it. Help me ask your neighbor. Help me ask your neighbor. What will you eat when you get up to break your fast? Ask your neighbor. You are not hearing me. I'm coming. Yeah, to arise, give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love. That is me. Shed amongst us. We'll still sing it one more time. But I want to give you opportunity. Help me ask your neighbor. Pastor said I should ask you. When you get home to break your fast, what will you eat? Help me ask your neighbor. Yeah. say to you? What did he say? He said what? I'm coming because we're not just going to walk away as if God is not talking to us. Because when I get home tonight, I'm going to eat. I will eat. There's food waiting for me. So what did the neighbor tell you? He says, go to eat eba. May God bless you. Eba with you soup. God bless you. You have eba to eat. Who again said, who again? He said what? He will eat rice. God bless you. Did you find out what she will eat when she says she does not know? And you kept quiet. All right. So what will you do with your own rice? We eat rice, but your neighbor said she doesn't know what she eats. What will you do?
I told her that
you will pray for her.
No, I said you will give us food today. She can eat that.
Come and tell the whole church. Come.
Oh, let there be love.
Share amongst us. Let there be love.
This guy will eat rice when he gets home. Rice and rice and what? Rice?
I said I will eat rice. Yes, sir. I don't know yet, maybe white.
Rice. Yes, sir. Okay. And your neighbor said she will eat what?
She said she does not know.
Say it where they need to hear.
She said she does not know.
Said she does not know. So when you heard, she said she does not know, what came to you? What jumped at you?
I told her that by the grace of God, they will give us something. So she can
by eat. The grace of God, they will give us something tonight.
So she will eat it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has delivered you.
Amen.
Yeah, go and sit. So my sister, by the grace of God, they will give us rice tonight. By the grace of God. Why don't you have rice? Why don't you have food to eat? Oh, okay. All right. Did you answer that because you don't want to be ashamed? Okay. She says she has food, but she doesn't know what to eat. May that be our problem. That we have food, we just don't know what to eat. That is a good problem in this kind of economy. If there be anybody that your neighbor asked you, what will you eat? And your neighbor told you nothing. That he's not sure what to eat. Please, I beg you. Tell your neighbor to see you after service. If you have 100 naira, 500 naira, please put it in your neighbor's hand. And say, find something to eat tonight. Am I communicating? That is how we grow. That's how we advance. In law, we don't advance in law by just walking it. We don't advance that way. Let's practicalize it. The Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. This was what the early church did, and when they did it, God helped them, and they grew both in size and in ministry. God bless you. The next thing we need to trust the Lord to help us as we advance is to advance in Christ-likeness. We need to advance in Christ-likeness. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Excuse me, church. I'd like you to understand the depths of what we just read. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, the same mind that was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. You know, I have always said, I've said twice or thrice, how God has been dealing with me on the issues of my many mistakes. You know, and I told you one time when I was working on my reputation and God was flogging me. You know, see, the Bible said Jesus made himself of no reputation. And that is the mind of Christ all of us must have. If we are going to be like Christ, we must be men who are like him. Like him in all things, in everything. You know, I shared with you when I went to Dubai. Because I just like to say that because it aligns with what I'm saying now. When I went to Dubai, you remember? And I said I went to Dubai. And after I was coming back, I went to buy things from the duty-free store. And after buying things from the duty-free store, I was coming back. After paying, I bought so much chocolates that they gave me almost 3 bags of that white bag. Almost 3. Because I had durhams that I was coming back with. What will I come and do with durhams in Nigeria? So I said, let me just finish spending everything there. So as I bought chocolate upon chocolate, the girl was looking at me. She was wondering in her mind, what kind of a man is this? Who is buying all this number of chocolates? But I kept buying. After I finished buying, I gave her the money. As I gave her the money, she returned back. She was to give me my passport because she had taken my passport to make photocopy, being an international traveler. And as she was returning back my passport, she also returned back my full money. Because she was trying to give me change, and she returned back my full money. And I told her, I said, is that all? Am I okay? She said, yes, you are okay. You can go. I said, I can go. Am I good? She said, you are good. He said, you can go. I said, thank you. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. I said, okay. And I carried the money, and I returned it back to her. I said, this money. She said, you want to buy more? She thought I wanted to buy more. I said, no, that is the money for the chocolates I bought. She said, wow, thank you, thank you. She was literally crying because I probably saved her job that day. And she was looking at me with tears in her eyes, wondering how this black man can do this. Immediately, I swung into action. And I told her, me, a Nigerian. Nigerian people, good people. You know, they have already said Nigerians, we are fraudulent. We are fraudsters. We are cheats. So I told them, I said, Nigerian people, good people. Even though Buhari did not celebrate me for doing that. And I told the Nigerian people, good people, fantastic people. We thank God for Nigeria. Not all Nigerians are bad people. Some Nigerians, good people. She said, yes, yes, yes. I was laundering the image of Nigeria, reputation of Nigeria. So when I went to sit down, the Lord came and sat by my side. And God came and told me, congratulations, Mr. Nigeria. I said, wow. I thought God was coming to come and congratulate me to tell me that I did well. God said, I made a young lady who never goes to church, who didn't go to church today, an Arabian lady who doesn't have opportunity of going to church. I made her to give you extra money so that you will not use the opportunity to tell her why you didn't take the money, that your life has been crucified with Christ. But you were too concerned about your reputation as a Nigerian that you didn't think about the spiritual service of saving this girl's life. Oh, God flogged me. I wept from Dubai till I landed in Nigeria. Excuse me, how many of you are still thinking about your reputation? Reputation doesn't matter when we are talking about the life of Christ. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. His reputation was nothing to him if he was to meet the life that was expected of him. Some of us, we need to let people step on us. And that's what the Bible talks about, discipleship, being deny yourself. My reputation does not matter. Who I am does not matter. What people call me does not matter. How people see me does not matter. What matters is how heaven sees me. And every one of us this year, we should have that mind, Christ-like mind. All of us should be like Christ, who doesn't consider the things of this world. We must become men who are sold to the purpose of the cross. We must become men who reason like Christ. And I was asking myself, what was Christ like when he was here on earth? What is Christ like when he was here on earth? What did he do when he was here? People did all manners of things to him. They slapped him. They spat on him. He didn't say one word. They did all manners of things to him. He didn't say one word. That is what we should become like in the Ikoyi Baptist Church. Even when people malign us, even when people say all manners of terrible things about us, we say no word. You know why? because Christ has taken over our life. When people begin to do all manners of unprintable things about us, we will not retaliate because Christ has taken over our life. You see, when we become like Christ, we reason like Christ, we think like Christ, we behave like Christ in all manners of holiness. Before we raise our hand to talk, we would have first examined ourselves. What would Jesus say if Jesus is to say this? Before we do anything, we'll say, what would Jesus do if he's to be the one to do? If we are to act anyway in a secret, in the public place, we'll say, what would Jesus do if Jesus were to be the one in this matter? Number six, advancement in believers' authority. If there is a place we need to advance this year, is in believers' authority. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says, therefore, God has highly exalted his name and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One area I'm trusting the Lord that God will bring us into this year is that all of us will become carriers of the power of God. All of us will exercise authority in Christ. All of us will have dominion in Christ. When we move around, we'll be fire carriers. All of us, when we move around, we'll be fire carriers. We'll be exerting the dominion of Christ wherever we go. When we enter a place, we'll say, are you a pastor? Are you a pastor? Not because you're a pastor, but they have seen something about your life and that you are not just a pushover. You are not just ordinary. All of us will get to say, by my word, this will happen and it will surely happen. All the men of faith who were men who spoke the word of God, they were men who exerted the authority of Christ. Let me tell you this. Something happened on Wednesday. I've not even discussed that with Dickness Magic. Dickness Magic was held up in one terrible traffic. On Wednesday, as many of you can remember, there was one terrible traffic. And you know, the moment she kept sending message, he said, Pastor, I'm in one terrible traffic. I said, don't worry, it is well. Then Pastor came up to pray one prayer. And as Pastor was praying, he now said, and we clear the traffic in the name of Jesus. So at that moment, I looked into my phone again and I sent a message to her. I said, don't worry, we have cleared the traffic. After sending that message to her, 5 minutes after I looked, I saw her. She just came in and sat there. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. I announced to her that I declare the road is open. No, I didn't say I did that. I said, Pastor came. The moment Pastor said, we cleared the traffic, the moment I had it, I picked my phone. I saw that she said, Pastor, we are still in this traffic. I told her, I said, we have cleared the traffic. You can start coming. 5 minutes after, she came and sat down here. Kingdom authority, dominion. I don't want any of the... It's like I have malaria. It's not only malaria, it's a malaria you will have. Don't say that again. By the grace of God, our language must change in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's no money. There's no money. There's no money. Who told you there's no money? Who gave you money? Who owns the money? The money belongs to God. A cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. So our language will determine how far we go. Our attitude determines our altitude. How far we go in life is a function of our authority in Christ. And I want to beg every one of you, our language must change. In this commission, our language must change. We must become like men who have seen Christ. We must become like men who have seen God. When you see God, you don't talk like ordinary man again. When Moses descended from the mountain, and people were talking, he said, if you die a natural death, then you know God has not called me. Men who have not seen God can't talk like that. Those are men who have seen God. They say, if you die a natural death, then no, God has not called me. They didn't die natural. The ground opened, swallowed them. Elijah, having seen God, he said, according to my word, there shall be no rain. Those are men who have seen God. Those are men who are going far. And I'm trusting God by the mercy of God. As a church, all of us will exercise kingdom dominion. We exercise kingdom authority. We will not speak like mere men. We will speak like men who carry fire. Men who carry grace in the name of Jesus. So anything you want to do, People say, I see blood. Don't travel. I see blood. Travel. That's the best time to travel. That blood you see is the blood of Jesus. That's the best time to travel. But just make sure you see any of the pastors. Like pastor will say, let's cover that blood. You know, I was trying to park one time. One Amuma person came. He was following me. As I was trying to park, he was following me. I said, let me park. As I parked, he just came. He said, And I said, oh, guy, if you don't do that, you will fall. He said, oh, guy, no good. And he doesn't know that me, myself, I like shouting. I almost entered my own level of shouting too. And the man said, Oga, I'm seeing a bad thing. It's bad. This happened 8 years ago. 2016. Oga, it's bad. I said, what is that? I said, if you open your mouth to talk, you will sleep tonight, you will die. You won't wake up. He didn't say anything till I packed my car, locked my car. I left and I was looking at him with my small eye here. He was looking at me, said, this guy will talk like this. If I talk, I feel die this night through. Kingdom authority. Don't let anybody tell you anything. It's a lie. The person, for whatever reason, the person may be here. He walked into my office, said, pastor, they told me February 13, I'm going to die. They said February 13. Pastor, February 13. I said, February 13? What's February 13? Why are you afraid? I said, all right. It was one man that took the Israelites into Egypt. Another man brought them out. Anybody told you February 13, you'll die. I announced to you February 13, you'll be alive. He said, pastor, it's not just like that. Let's pray. I said, no, you don't need to pray. The uncertainty is what they did is just to make you afraid. If you agree, they will agree. Do not call conspiracy what the people call conspiracy. I said, when men say there's a casting down for us, there's a lifting up. We are seeing these things. Those are unnecessary conspiracy and theories to dissuade you from the eternal purpose of God. I said, you will not die. He said, but pastor, please, let's still pray. Let's still pray. I said, all right. I won't pray for you today. Since you don't believe what I've said, come tomorrow. He said, pastor, are you sure tomorrow? Before I even wake up, before I woke up, the person was already in my office waiting for prayer. I tell you, February 13 passed. Not only February 13, many February 13s have passed. The person is alive. Listen to me, I tell you, by the grace of God, if there's a level and a dimension all of us must operate this year, is the level of the supernatural. Where we can command things. The Bible says God is the one that called those that are not as though they were. We need to close. I may not be able to finish this point, and I will stop at this final point. Advancement in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If there's a level all of us must advance, it's in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And how I wish, how I pray, all of us will get to that point. If Philippians chapter 3, as we close, this is the last point I'm taking. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14. Let's read. The Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And verse 11, media, just be fast, please. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. One thing jumped at me, that Paul was already deep in Christ and in his walk with Christ when he was writing this thing. One thing I'm praying is that Psalm 42 verse 1 becomes a reality for us. That as the deer pants after the water brooks, so our soul will longer and hunger for God. Those that hunger and thirst after God, they shall be filled. And I'm trusting the Lord that all of us will advance in our knowledge of Christ. All of us, we get to a point where we are hungry for God. More of God. More of God. More of God. We'll be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters covers the sea. When they touch you, they will touch the world. When they touch you, they touch the world. When they touch you, they touch something about God. When a man's life is saturated with the knowledge of God, there is nothing else any man can do. Excuse me. If you fill a bottle with water and you decide to perforate the bottle, what will come out? You're not following me. When you fill a bottle with water and you decide to perforate the bottle with a sharp object, what will come out? What will come out? Water. Oh my God, if we are filled with God and filled of God, anyone who touches us, we touch God. When we talk, we will talk God. When we lie down, we lie down with God. When we move with God. Can you imagine Elijah who said, "Oga, what I'm sensing, I'm seeing that rain is about to fall. You better run now because that rain will stop you." And I was wondering when Elijah said it, that what about him? How will he survive this thing? Since he has no chariot. He said, "I don't need chariot." We who know God, we don't need chariot. We are going to outrun the chariots of Ahab. When a man carries God, even those who know, who have gone ahead, you catch up. You don't only catch up, you overrun them. You don't only outrun them. You don't only outrun them. You get there even before they start. And I'm sensing in my heart, as we hunger for God, God will fill us up. Oh, God will fill us to overflowing. It will become a house where we speak the word, we pray the word, we sing the word, we reach the word. Anything we do is the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. And I'm trusting the Lord that it will almost be like when they greeted our deacon Shagu, but he said, "The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength." He said, "Our Pastor Geshom, how are you doing?" He said, "The Lord is coming again in the name of Jesus." It will get to the point where everything we say, everything we do, will be the word. By the special grace of God, that is the level we advance into. Can you bow your heads? Can you talk to God and say, "God, please, can you advance us?" That is the direction. That's where we are going. We are not just advancing aimlessly. We are not advancing without focus. We are not advancing without direction. That is where we are going. That is where we are headed. That is where we are pointing. That is where God is taking us. Will I beg you tonight to say, "God, take me to that point. I want to be filled with, I want to be filled with your word, with your word, with your word. Fill me. Fill me with your word. Fill me with your word. Fill me with your word. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. To pray for us. Are you here? You say, "Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be like Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to advance, but I know that if I don't make things right in my life, I can't advance. I want to be like Jesus." While everybody's bowing their heads and all eyes are closed, can I just beg you to lift up your right hand? Say, "Pastor, I want to be like Jesus." God bless you, my brother. God bless you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to just surrender to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I can see those hands. I can see those hands. I can see those hands. Just say, "I want to be like Jesus. I 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 want to be like Jesus." So as you're making that decision, can you just take another step of faith? Can you just come to the front? Can you just come to the front? I'd like to pray with you. So Lord, that's my decision. I want to be like Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. I just want to make peace with God. I want to get this right. Come, 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 come. The Lord is waiting for you. The Lord is waiting for you. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. As our pastor comes. Lord,
I want to be like Jesus in my heart.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.